The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee, and he found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him about whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus, son of Joseph, from Nazareth." Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" And Philip said to him, "Come and see." And when Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him, he said of him, "Here is truly an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael asked him, "Where did you get to know me?" Jesus answered, "I saw you under the fig tree before Philip even called you." Nathanael replied, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." And Jesus answered, "Do you believe because I told you that I saw you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than even this." And he said to him, "Very truly, I tell you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." This is the gospel of grace. Thanks be to God. A year or so ago, I spoke here in front of our young fifth and sixth graders who were undergoing their training to be our new acolytes, those who carry the light in and out before and after our services of worship. During my talk, I asked the acolytes to look to the southern window in our sanctuary, in which Samuel, the old priest, is shown anointing the head of David, the new king. I asked if any of the acolytes had any idea what it was that Samuel was pouring on the head of David. One of the children's hands shot straight up in bold confidence. "Champagne," he said. It was my child, who has apparently seen a lot more sports championships being celebrated on TV than he has read of royal coronations in the Bible. I explained to him and to the others that Samuel was anointed David's head not with champagne, but with oil. And I wanted them to know this because though Samuel was by this point an old priest, he was once, just like them, a young acolyte. Though I told them they had it lucky because in Bible times, acolytes actually had to spend the night at church with no youth group to keep them company. And they thought Sunday night church sounded bad. And one dark night, when the lamp of the Lord was just about to burn out, there was a voice which spoke in the sanctuary saying, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel was summoned. We were thinking this morning about calling, and we have two stories. The first, the call of Samuel by the Lord, and the second, the call of the disciples by Jesus. And it strikes me that in each of these stories, those called were being called before they even knew the one who was calling. The Bible says that Samuel was being called by the Lord before he even knew the Lord. And Nathanael was being called to come and follow Jesus before he even knew who Jesus was. He did not know Jesus, but Jesus knew him. And Jesus was calling him, and God was calling Samuel. It is not lost on me, then, that this morning there may be. I presume that there are people being called to come and follow Jesus and to find their purpose in God, even if they don't know who God or Jesus or even their own selves really are. And so, as the man who had a great deal with my own calling, Reverend Charles Foster Johnson used to say, we give all that we know of ourselves to all that we know of God. And that is what it means to answer God's call in our lives. And it is a great, great adventure. Though I grant you, if you are in the fifth or sixth grades or even in graduate school, maybe living a life shaped by the call of Jesus may not sound so adventurous. If that's the case for you, well, then I would say this morning you are in good company. Look what Nathanael said when he was being called to come and follow this Jesus of Nazareth. Can anything good come from Nazareth? It's like saying, can anything good come out of Lubbock? Or out of Argyle? And I like the answer given by his friend, Philip, who said, well, come and see. And in setting out to see, he found the great purpose and meaning of his life. He found Jesus, and he found God. And I believe he found himself. I confess to you this morning that I was once completely uncertain and very cynical about my own calling. People ask me how I came into ministry, and I always answer, kicking and screaming. There was a time when I thought both ministry and life with God itself both sounded very boring. And the thought of doing it professionally in the church sounded excruciating. My picture of the church ministry was akin to what Bill Coffin called the bland leading the bland. So even in seminary, I was convinced that there was no way in the world I would end up serving the church. In fact, when Irie, my wife, and I first met, I was intending to go, after graduating from seminary, on to law school. Pro tip, if you're called to be a preacher but still want to get the girl, consider telling her you're going to be a lawyer. But still, in my spirit, I couldn't shake this sense of call upon my life. Give all that you know about yourself to all that you know about God. Come and see. And I remember sitting outside of a little outdoor cafe with Irie in Washington, D.C. in the summer of 2004 after I had already moved to D.C. to go to law school and sheepishly that night saying to her, I think I'm supposed to be a pastor. And her saying, I know. And 20 years later, I have to say it has been a great adventure. And I've never been bored. And as Fosdick used to say, if I had 1,000 lives to live, I would be a pastor in every single one of them. Come and see. Come and find out. You may not be called to be a pastor, but remember, in a Baptist church, everyone is a minister. Come and see what it means to be a minister, to give your life to God in service to humanity. Come and see what it means to give all that you know about yourself to all that you know about God in Jesus Christ. I do not think you will be disappointed. These are difficult days now for the church and also for America. They aren't too far off from the times in which Samuel was living. The priesthood was corrupt and abusive then, and the nation was, frankly, in crisis. But dark as those days and nights were, the scripture says, the lamp of the Lord had not gone out. And a voice called out in the night saying, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel said, speak, Lord. Your servant is listening. And in the days of Jesus, John the Baptist had just been arrested and would soon be beheaded. Herod was on the throne, and Rome and right-wing religion were in power with one another. Those days were dark too, and could anything come out of Nazareth that would make a difference? Well, come and see. Come and see, come and find out, come in 2024 and discover that God is still calling in and for just such a time as this. Tomorrow is Martin Luther King Jr. holiday, as was said earlier in the prayer, and we think of all that he meant to America. We know that he was called, but Dr. King said himself, at first he wasn't so sure. His father, Daddy King, was a preacher, but Martin first wanted to be a doctor, and then later he too wanted to be a lawyer. But in the summer of 1944, when Martin was in college, he went up to Connecticut to work on a tobacco farm for the summer. And there in the North, he got his first taste of true freedom for the very first time. And he came back home wanting to bring that same sense of freedom from the North to the South. And he decided the best way that he could do that was by being a preacher. And Daddy King would say, my son has been called by the Lord. And his friends would tease him and say, no, it was the manual labor on that farm that called your son. But we know, don't we, that God called Martin Luther King Jr. to be a preacher. In writing his essay for admission into the seminary, he said these words, with which I will close. He said that he felt he was called, what he called an inescapable urge to serve society, and a sense of responsibility which he could not escape. He had been called, summoned to be a lamp of light in a very dark time. Martin Luther King Jr. said yes, and America was changed, and it was changed for good. The final thing I would wish to say to you today is this: God is still calling. God is still at work doing things, even in these dark times. And someone, somewhere, maybe even here, is still sensing an inescapable urge to serve society and a summons, maybe even from the God they don't yet know, simply to come and see. If so, may you say in your own soul what young Samuel said so long ago in his: "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening." Call, God, and I will come and find out. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Mother of us all, and together all of God's people do say, amen and amen.